All right, so the reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And many of us know this as the Great Commission. This is at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is his last word for Matthew's Gospel is this. And the focus today is on the Trinity. The Trinity. What about the Trinity when it comes to growth 101, growth in our lives and His church? When it comes to fresh starts, what does the Trinity and the Bible have to say about fresh starts? And so we'll listen to this passage with that in mind. Let's listen for what the Spirit is saying to us. His church. And read along if you'd like. It's page 1017. Everyone there who wants to read? So join me and read. Let's go ahead there. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the end of the age." So the Trinity. I want to focus this morning on the Trinity. What does it mean for us as a fresh start? What does that look like? And I want to ask three questions and then see what the Bible has to say about these three questions. Okay? Three questions about the Trinity. The first is, who is the Trinity? Who is the Trinity? Or when we know that there are three of them, we would say, who are the persons of the Trinity? But the first question is, who is the Trinity? Second is, what is the Trinity? What is the Trinity? All right? So who is the Trinity and what is the Trinity? And the third question is, what does this matter to us? What does this matter to us? Who's the Trinity? What is the Trinity? And what does it matter to us? And for us, in terms of a fresh start, how can knowing who is the Trinity and what is the Trinity provide us a fresh start in our life right now and His church? Okay? So, and we have a short time today because we have communion. So we'll see what we can do, see what the Spirit will do with us. Are you willing? Are you? All right, okay. So first of all, who is the Trinity? All right? So I'm going to go ahead and ask you to help me with that. Who's the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who is the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say Father, we're talking about Heavenly Father. Jesus, when he prays, he'll say, "Heavenly Father." Okay? So, Heavenly Father, Son, meaning Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus the Son of God. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus himself refers to himself as the Son of God. Peter, one of his disciples, Jesus had asked them, says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do the people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're the, you're someone, you're Elijah." And then he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter in a spirit-filled moment, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, what? Did he say, wrong answer? No. No, I didn't, did he? He said, "Whoa, Peter, it wasn't you who was given this to know, but our Heavenly Father has given you to know this." In other words, right answer, right? You got it? Now, the Holy Spirit, you mentioned the Holy Spirit is one of this Trinity. You said, who is the Trinity? You said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some of us like to think of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, right? I heard some of you say that, so don't deny it, right? but many of us like to know God as Holy Spirit in terms of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And holy is put before the name Spirit because, as you can imagine, there are many spirits in the world, some for good and some for bad or evil. And so the distinction in saying Spirit is what? Holy, holy, all right? Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that when I go to the Father, says this in Acts 1:8, is that I'll be giving you a power. When I go to the Father, I'm going to be giving you a power. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to give you a power. And this will be a power that you may be witnesses, my witnesses, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the whole end of the earth. All right, so the first question, who is the Trinity? You said Heavenly Father, Son of God, and Holy Spirit. All right, is everybody with me? Okay, all right. So that's who the Trinity is. Now, what is the Trinity? We know who the Trinity is, but what? What is the Trinity? And so, what is the Trinity? I'm going to start in addressing this by sharing a few stories, quick stories from the Bible about these three people in action, all right? That is, Heavenly Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a few quick snippets of the Heavenly Father in action, the Son of God in action, and then the Holy Spirit in action as a way of giving us an illustration of what the Trinity is. And then I'm going to show in the Bible what the Trinity is with specific, I'm going to go through the steps of what the Trinity is. So first of all what is the Trinity? Trinity is one God and three persons. Okay, we just got finished saying who is the Trinity, three, we'll call them persons, but it really, you know, words don't really do it, do they? You know, we say that Heavenly Father is a person and the Son of God is a person and the Holy Spirit is a person. And yeah. And we just do what we can with our words, a little embarrassed about the incapacities of the English language and really of any language to convey someone that is infinite, is all-powerful, all-knowing. So it's difficult, all right? So what is the Trinity? It's a God who is a Heavenly Father who, together with the Son and the Spirit, out of such great lavish love created you and I. We're used to thinking the Heavenly Father is the one who creates, but in fact, it's the Heavenly Father, it's the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, all three created you and I. And so the Trinity creates. In Colossians 2, Jesus is described as one who created. In him was everything. And he created. All is created for him and by him. Okay, Colossians. And so if everything is created for him and by him, then Jesus is a creator. And if in Genesis 1, the waters, the Hebrew folks, when they think about nothingness, they think about water. Okay? Water is nothing. It's chaos is water. For them, thinking about going across the Mediterranean is like total chaos. All right? So chaos, water is chaos. And so when in Genesis 1, God is separating the waters from the waters, God is creating from out of that, and he sends his Spirit, that is, across the surfaces of the water, and in the space of nothingness, he created all that is created, including you and I. Okay? So there we have it. The Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit create. And so the Heavenly Father is, God is like a Heavenly Father who runs out to greet you and I when we've gone running away ourselves, when we've done wrong, but we know that we are alienated from God. And we've gone off and done things that are hurtful of others and ourselves. And so God, the Heavenly Father, comes running after us and embraces us before we can realize what's happening and puts our favorite comfortable robe around our shoulders and our most comfortable slippers on our feet and walks us by hand into the house where a feast is ready. God is like a Heavenly Father who, knowing, not having yet talked to, knowing that there is his son, his child, who is feeling unfed, underappreciated, burned out by church, that this Heavenly Father comes out to us in the hallways of our life and says, come, come to the feast. Come to the celebration. And we resist and we say, but wait a second, I don't want to go to the feast. I've been working hard. I'm even burned out. I'm unfed. I feel unfed. And he's saying, but I have a feast to feed you with. So come. God is a son. Who is confronted with accusers, with stones in their hand. When you are dragged before them with accusations and trembling and hurting from them dragging you, have gathered you before the Master, and he is the one masterful even in a grisly trial by fire, rocks in hand. And he says, knowing that they, their own sinfulness and your own sinfulness, he asks, or rather he says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And so first the older and then the younger walk away. The sound of the stones thudding in the dust. But only you are there with him. And he asks you, where are your accusers? Child, God. And you say, what do you say? They're all gone. They're not here. And he says, then neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. God is a Holy Spirit. A Holy Spirit who loves you too much to leave you with the historical Jesus, with dry pages, words on a page. Who loved you too much to end the story of salvation when Jesus dies, and even when he's raised, to leave us this way. And so he comes. He dwells with us, among us, and within us. As we say yes to the Master. Now, so what is the Trinity? The Trinity is one God and three persons, equal, diverse, eternal, and unified. When I say one God, that means they're in unity, okay? So we have three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet they're one. So they're in unity. They are a community. So what is the Trinity? A community of unity. Say that with me, a community of unity. All right? So what is the Trinity? A community of unity. Now, in this morning's passage, it says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, if they were all one, but they were exactly the same, in other words, one God and only one person that shows up in different ways at different times, then Matthew would only have reason to say, go ahead and baptize them in the name of God. But he didn't. He said, baptize them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there are three people, and they are different. The Father is not the Son. See? Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son. The Father is not the Spirit. You see? Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They are not the same. They are different. And yet, they are equal. You see, Matthew could have said, baptize them in the name of the Father. And then if you remember, also baptize them in the name of the Son. And if you would like, why don't you add, throw in the Holy Spirit. Did he say that? It's not in my Bible. Is it in yours? All right. So they're equal. They're in unity, and they are equal. So, what is the Trinity? They are the Heavenly Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, one God. In Romans 3:30, chapter 3, verse 30, says there is only one God who will bring to him both the circumcised and the uncircumcised, meaning those who are Jewish, and well as those who are not Jewish, meaning most of us. Okay? So there's only one God. Bible says there's only one God. And yet, there are three persons. And the Father is God. Matthew mentions the Father. The Son of God. Jesus, the Son, is God. Matthew mentions the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. Matthew mentions the Holy Spirit. And yet the Father is not the Son. The Father is not the Spirit. The Son is not the Father. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. The Spirit is not the Son. All right? Now, if you caught all of that, then, man, good going. All right? It's very, it can be very heady. Okay? But the danger is that in its headiness, that we let it go. And we miss what it means for us. Okay? So who is the Trinity? Come. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is the Trinity? Community and unity and equality and diversity. Okay? And they're eternal. Now, what does this mean for us? What matter? What does it matter? Well, if we believe that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if we believe the community is of God, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then we will be joined to this community of unity. All right, let me say that again. So what does it matter to us that we believe? If you choose to believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you are joined in the community of unity. You're joined in the Trinity. You may not have heard that before. When we serve communion, we're given the gift of union with God. And being in union with God, who is God? Huh? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're joined with the Father. You're joined with the Son. You're joined with the Spirit. And you are in the community of unity. You are a member of the Trinity. Whoa. All right? So what does it mean for us? It means we're a member of the Trinity. Now, before you get too big-headed about this, go running off, say, our pastor told us that we're God. We're Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, almost. Not quite. Okay? Because we are adopted. Paul in Romans, you know, he says that we are adopted. We once were alien, but now we are adopted into this community. So in Romans, says that we are one with this community, and not through our own efforts. In Romans 8, it says that through grace, by faith, and not of ourselves. Okay? Through grace, by faith, and not of ourselves, but by the gift of God. All right? Did you see that? Did you get there? Did you see it? Romans 8. It is by grace through faith, not of ourselves, but through the gift of God, that we are joined with the Trinity. So if somebody asks you, who are you? You can say, well, I am a member of the Trinity. I've been joined to the Trinity, not through what I've done on my own, but only by believing. Okay? Only by believing. That's our work to do, is to believe. Jesus says, you have no work to do but to believe. Okay? So we are joined to this community. Now, but that's not all. You see, because in this morning's passage, he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, of all peoples. It doesn't make any difference what their skin color, what their creed is, what they look like, how old they are, what their problems are.
行。
Jesus says, bring it on. And so he's saying, go and make disciples, which means that if we believe in the Trinity, then not only are we joined into the Trinity, this community of unity, but we are making community. Okay? We're joined into community and we're making community. Now, it says, Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And that's the authority we have for making community. What does making community look like? Well, yesterday, there was a soccer game my boys were in. And they're 7 years old, and they're on the same team. And they're learning how to play soccer. Okay, it's only their like fourth game of indoor soccer. All right? And that ball slips around on that floor like nobody's business. It's not like there's grass and it goes nice and slow. All right? Now, so they did very well. They scored 3 goals. And the goalie for the other team, bless her heart, was a little girl. Maybe she was 6, but 6 or 7. And she was the goalie. And her team had not scored any goals. In fact, it wasn't very often that the ball went down to the other end of the court. So when the third goal had happened, this girl went unglued. Her head went down, and her hair was over her head. And her hands were like this, and she was rock still. And she was hurting. Humiliated, probably feeling humiliated. There were about 40 people in the stands, parents, grandparents, siblings. Maybe it's the siblings that it would hurt. I don't know. She was hurt. And there was a long moment there where everything was at a standstill. The goal had been scored, and the girl was in pain. And the ref, out of the kindness of her heart, tweeted the whistle and stopped the game. There isn't a rule in the rule book that says if a player starts crying, stop the game. All right, but the ref did. And I said, I was feeling for the girl, so I yelled out, I said, good effort, girl. And the rest of the crowd kind of caught on. And they started clapping for her. And the clapping grew louder and louder. And keep in mind, the game is not going on. Everything is at a standstill. And the coach has gone out to hug the girl. And everyone in the stands are clapping their hands. And this little girl, her face brightened up. It took a moment or two. But her face brightened up, and her coach had mercy on her and moved her from the goal and made her a defender and put one of his best players in the better players in the goal. And the coach on my boys' team took one of the players on the front lines back toward the goalie so that we're not don't have as many players up there, okay? But this is a moment of community. There was a bursting out. There was a, what do you call it when the just out of nowhere there's someone singing? What do you call it? Spontaneity, for sure. But anyway, there burst out this community that we're talking about here. So what does it mean to be Trinity? It means that we are like that crowd. And we create community. And not just of ourselves, but with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who's the Trinity? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is the Trinity? A community of unity, equality, a diversity.
eternity. What does it mean for us? It means that we're joined into that community. It means that we're making that community. Now, if you're not making that community, if you're on the sidelines like the older son out in the field, resisting making community, then there's a, Jesus was saying to disciples, he said, this guy is doing something, healing this person. And Jesus said, whoever is for us is not against us. But then in the next breath, he said, and whoever puts a stumbling block in front of one of the smallest of these, it would have been better if they'd had a millstone around their neck. But God is the God of love. He wants us all to be in this community, to join it, and to make the community. Be making it. Amen.